Good morning. My name is Lex Moore, and I am the student and discipleship pastor here at Fairfax Circle Church. If you love winter weather, I assume this was a great weekend for you. We actually got snow on top of the cold weather. If you're not into the winter weather, it was fun while you had it. I'm impressed you're here this morning, quite honestly. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we're really glad that you're here, and we would love the opportunity to get to meet you if we haven't already, but at the very least, we would love it if you would fill out a connection card. You can find that in the seat back in front of you. You just fill that out with as much information as you feel comfortable with, and then you can put that in the box by the double doors as you walk out after services today. But David, our lead pastor, is normally who is here speaking on Sunday mornings. He is away this weekend at a funeral, and so he asked me to step in. And so we will be stepping out of his current series just for this morning, and then I'll be stepping in to speak to you this morning about shoes, if that wasn't obvious by what I had up here this morning. Are there any shoe lovers out there, shoe fanatics? Yes, some of you probably have a literal mountain of shoes at home. Like, your closet is so filled with shoes, it's just shoe on top of shoe on top of shoe. You don't even know what shoes are at the bottom of that pile. You have more shoes than you even realize. Some of you, though, you like shoes so much, you like collect them. I mean, you would never find a shoe sitting on top of another shoe. You've got them away nice and neat and organized. And like, if anyone wanted to come over and see them, they would be just ready on display for you to show off at a moment's notice. If you haven't noticed, our culture is kind of obsessed with shoes, which I find at least a little bit funny just because they're the things that we put on our smelly feet and then we drag around on the ground all day, right? But people will spend hundreds to thousands of dollars on a single pair of shoes. It's crazy. And shoes come in so many forms. There are so many options out there. There are sandals and flip-flops and Crocs. There are tennis shoes, skater shoes, cleats, basketball shoes, and nurse shoes. There are working boots, hiking boots, cowboy boots, snow boots, and thigh-high boots. There are high heels and platform shoes and moon shoes. There are flippers and shoes with toes, very stylish. There are Heelys and light-up shoes and even shoes with secret compartments in them. And this is just scratching the surface. There are so many shoes out there. And just within this room, there are so many shoes. If you were to look around the people that are sitting near you, you're not going to find the exact same pair of shoes sitting around you in this room, would be my guess. You probably wouldn't even be able to find the same type of shoe with the person you're sitting in your row with, because there are just so many shoes out there. And some of you, you have different shoe sizes than the people sitting around you. And dare I say, some of you have differing shoe hygiene. Yeah, some of you, your shoes are pristine, right? I mean, they are so clean that you could eat off of them. And then there's some of you that your shoes are caked in mud and they have a slight stench to them. Like, you don't even want to eat near them. And if I was to ask you to take off your shoes, to swap them with someone else in the room this morning, and then put on their shoes, you'd probably be at least a little bit hesitant. And not just for hygiene's sake, though that is up at the top of my list, but because your shoes are your shoes and they're meant for you. I mean, you picked out the right size so that they would fit perfectly. And then over time, they slowly form to your foot, right? So they now have the perfect fit. You have become comfortable in your shoes. And even the thought of putting your feet in someone else's shoes makes you uncomfortable. And yet, putting ourselves in other people's shoes is exactly what God has asked us to do. Putting ourselves in other people's shoes is exactly what God has asked us to do. I assume most of us in the room this morning are familiar with the phrase, put yourself in someone else's shoes, right? I mean, this is a phrase that means you consider life from someone else's point of view. You think about what it would be like to live in a scenario that someone else is living in and what that would mean for your life. How would that play out? Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried to think about life from someone else's context? To do this is called sympathy. When you sympathize with someone, you recognize or acknowledge their circumstances, and then you attempt to understand their suffering. And then when you understand their suffering, you have feelings of distress or concern for that person. If you don't have distress or concern for that person, this is simply pity. The difference between sympathy and pity is caring what someone else is going through. Pity is stagnant, whereas sympathy is moving you towards action, which we're going to get to in a bit. Sometimes it can be difficult to have sympathy for others. It can be hard and it can be uncomfortable to put ourselves in someone else's shoes, especially the less in common you have with someone. But it is a worthy practice. It is important to think about life from someone else's point of view. When we think about life from someone else's point of view, we may begin to understand why they are in the situation that they are in, or why they are acting the way that they are acting. Because often, people are actually reacting to their circumstances or their past. When we put ourselves in the shoes of the grumpy old neighbor, for instance, we may begin to understand he may be grumpy because his body aches from old age and he can't do the things that he once was able to do. When we put ourselves in the shoes of the pregnant mom, we may begin to understand that she's crying and she's maybe in a not so great mood because she is literally growing another person inside of her. And I would imagine that takes a lot out of a person. When we put ourselves in the shoes of the homeless man, we may understand that he's homeless not because he's lazy, but because he got fired from his job, or he got sick and he couldn't keep up with his medical bills. When we put ourselves in the shoes of the refugee, we may understand that they may be coming to our country not because they want to hurt us or to take our jobs, but because they want to live in safety and have a chance at a good life like you and me. Do you understand? When we put ourselves in the shoes of those around us, we put ourselves in the sandals of Jesus. When we put ourselves in the shoes of those around us, we put ourselves in the sandals of Jesus. We begin to walk the very steps that Jesus' sandals took him. We walk towards the sick and the hurting and the poor and the emotional, and we reach out our hand. Because when we sympathize with someone, when we put ourselves in someone else's shoes, those shoes take us somewhere. Sympathy moves us towards action. Putting ourselves in someone else's shoes walks us to compassion. Compassion is the attempt to relieve someone's suffering. We as God's people are meant to be moved towards compassion. God established his people on the core foundation that they would be compassionate towards others. God wants to use you and me to make the world a better place. God wants to use you and me to bring heaven to earth. God's people have been founded on this very idea since the very beginning. But before there were Christians, God's people were the Israelites. And before there were the Israelites, there were just people. And all the people on the earth were focused on was populating the human race and staying alive. And these things are very valuable. I mean, these are great things. But it created a lot of self-serving people and chaos. It was a dog-eat-dog world. It was survival of the fittest. But God wanted something better. God wanted his creation to be a little bit more special than that. God wanted his people to have a better purpose. And so he established his people through a specific man named Abraham that you can find in Genesis 12. We can understand Abraham as the founding member of God's people in the Old Testament. Abraham was the man whom God made a promise that would be passed down in his family from generation to generation. God promised Abraham that he would bless Abraham so that Abraham could be a blessing to others. Abraham and all of his descendants, the Israelites, or as we know them today, the Jews, would be blessed so that they could be a blessing to the rest of the world. And whether God's people were in victory or in tragedy, God would remind them that they are blessed and they are meant to be a blessing to others. Now, this may not sound groundbreaking to you, but it is, especially at the time that it began. Everyone during Abraham's time was a part of a tribe. And we can understand tribes basically as a collection of families that lived together, except life was hard. People didn't have all the necessities that we had, such as readily available food, secure homes, and medicine. Everyone's main purpose was to survive and to take care of their own, to take care of their own tribe or family. So when God established a tribe of people whose purpose was the exact opposite, to serve others rather than serving themselves, this was an insane idea. Abraham lived in a world that was focused on serving themselves and themselves only, but God called Abraham to be the father of a tribe that was meant not to serve itself, but to serve others. God could create a tribe like this because the time that Abraham's tribe would have spent on taking care of themselves, God said, I will take care of. God would be doing the caretaking so that Abraham's tribe could go and take care of others. So that's why God continually reminds Abraham, you are a blessed people, so go and bless others. But here's the problem. Abraham's tribe, God's people, they often forgot this, especially when times were good. You see, when God's people were suffering, they remembered that God was there and they remembered their calling because they needed somebody to call out to themselves. They remembered to care about the suffering because they were suffering and they understood how much it sucked. So they wanted to ease the suffering of others because they knew how much they wanted to ease their own suffering. But when God's people were doing really well, they would forget their calling to care about others and they would just begin to focus on themselves. They would forget about those suffering because they weren't suffering. And they didn't feel the need to speak out about injustice because their life now felt just. Not only did they lack sympathy, they lacked empathy. Empathy is when you feel the suffering that someone else is feeling. It's when you feel the pain that someone else is feeling. Empathy requires experience. It is not possible for you to express or display empathy in every situation because you likely have not experienced every type of suffering and pain known to humankind. But more often than not, the Israelites as a people had experienced the pain that others were feeling. The Israelites had a long and diverse history of suffering, but they often forgot it when the good times rolled back around. And so, God and God's spokespersons, the prophets, they spent a lot of time reminding God's people where they came from. And they would say something like, hey, Israelites, do you remember when you were hungry and begging on the street and you just wished that someone would give you even a dime? Then why do you refuse to make eye contact with the begging man who needs money for food? You were once in his shoes. Oh, and hey, Israelites, do you remember when you were refugees? You had no home and you knew no one, and all you wanted was someone to treat you with love. Yet when foreigners walk into your town, you treat them as annoyances or threats. You were once in their shoes. Oh, and hey, Israelites, do you remember when you were sick and physically in pain and even to breathe hurt? Then why do you do nothing to try to make life more comfortable for those who aren't feeling well? You were once in their shoes. God's people are called to put themselves in the shoes of others because all of God's people have been in the shoes of the suffering at one time. And when you are blessed, that is God's reminder to you to go and bless others. The Israelites were supposed to have empathy for the foreigners and the slaves and the poor and the hungry and the sick because they had been all of those things. And yet they so quickly forgot they were blessed and instead thought that they were entitled. They stopped having sympathy and empathy and compassion and instead they had mere pity. Now you may be thinking that you aren't a part of Abraham's tribe. You're probably not an Israelite, but here is where you come into the story. Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. And when he invites you into a relationship with him, he invites you into the tribe and family of Abraham. When we become Christians, we become God's people. We are blessed, and we are meant to be a blessing to others. So when you are blessed, are you blessing others, or are you forgetting what it has been like to suffer? Are you putting yourself in the shoes of others, moving towards compassion? God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to others. God takes care of you so that you can spend your time taking care of others. God looks after you so that you can look after others. Jesus spoke up for you on your behalf, despite your sin, so that you could speak up on behalf of others who also don't deserve mercy and grace. When you become a Christian, you become a part of a tribe that is cared for by God so that God's tribe can care for others. But somehow, Christians, God's people today, have become known as lazy and judgmental and entitled and self-serving. They become known as a group who pities others rather than a group who shows compassion. Christians have become known as those who offer up prayers and not much else. And the world has said, we don't want your prayers, save your breath. What the world wants is help. They want sympathy and empathy that is moving people towards using their hands and their feet and their time and their money to relieve suffering. Words and prayers only mean so much when there isn't action to back it up. And I know that it isn't always possible or appropriate to relieve the pain and suffering of others. I get that. Sometimes prayer really is all that you can do for someone. But don't let prayer become an excuse not to get your hands dirty. Don't let prayer make you lazy. Jesus himself, the Christ, the Savior that Christians model their entire identity over, he didn't sit up in heaven merely pitying the world and acknowledging what a mess it is. Jesus saw the sickness and the pain and the injustice, and he moved towards it. Jesus was moved to come down to earth, to get his hands and his feet dirty, to get his body chased and grabbed and bruised and bloodied, all to relieve the suffering of mankind. And so I'll wrap up this lesson with this verse of Christian identity, which you can find in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. And it says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Everybody needs love and compassion. And that's why Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love others. The very identity of God's people is founded on selfless love. And so, out of your love for God, love others. Out of your love for Jesus, put yourself in the shoes of others and show them compassion. Put on your Jesus sandals and start walking towards others. Are you blessed? Yes. Now go and bless others. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the love that you have shown us and for inviting us into your family. God, I pray that you will inspire us to make a difference in our community. I pray that you inspire us to put ourselves in other people's shoes, to begin to walk the same steps that you walk, Jesus. I pray that you will give us the type of love that you have that is selfless. God, help us to have sympathy and empathy and compassion for those that are around us. Help us to be everything you want us to be. Help us to encompass the identity that you set out for us. Help us to fill the shoes that you wanted us to fill, God. God, we love you, and we love what you're doing in this church, and I pray that you will continually bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.